Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. Good to have you here. And everybody's staying socially distant as you'd like, and some masking, some not. And we're just thankful that you're here. And little by little, more and more folks will be able to come back. Maybe we've got about 8 weeks till the fall. We have a board meeting today, but expecting to open fully kids' youth program. So, but we'll still talk about that and discuss how that's going to look. Great news. Louis James Rodriguez was born on Friday. LJ to Patricia Vision and Louis Rodriguez. Big sister Adriana and big brother Adriel, right? So, and congratulations to Lori and Tim Vigent, the new grandson. So, very excited. I think I heard they're going home today. So, is that right? Anybody else? But we can look for ways to bless them and pray for them. And soon enough, the little guy will be baptized too. So, that'll be wonderful. There's a lot going on, even though we're almost 4 months into a shutdown. There's a lot going on, a lot of opportunities. So look in the bulletin, look in the contact. We're doing our best to stay in contact with all the church family, and some of you are doing that as well. Keep that going. Our goal as leaders, pastors, is to connect with everybody, you know, so that no one is without conversation and prayer and concern. So we love you. We're so glad you're here. Those who are down in the gathering room or the fellowship room, and those on video or audio, we love you and we invite you to join us in worship. Today is about exalting God, exalting our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. But we pray that we might see Jesus today. You know, maybe we'll have a vision of Jesus in our worship. It'll help us worship. Maybe we'll see him walking in our midst. This connects to the book of Revelation. Jesus walked amongst the lampstands, the churches. So with that in mind, I invite you to join in the first song. It's the bold letters where you sing along, and we'll continue from there. It's good to have you here.
Shadows deepen. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
He is to be revered above all gods.
Honor and majesty are before him.
Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Bring an offering and come into his courts.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
Tremble before him, all the earth.
Join us now on your insert, for holy is our God.
How great you are, Almighty God. We love you. We worship you. We pray for the fullness of your presence. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Thank you for the gift of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You did not spare him, but gave him up for us all. The one who loves us and has released us from our sins by his blood. We thank you and praise you. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would not just be our comforter and helper, but that you would come with the fire of your presence and fill us to overflowing. Fill this place. We need you, Lord. You need the church to be ministering to all around, to the world, to show what real reconciliation is all about. Not the strategies of the world, but your strategies by your Spirit. So we pray that we would be united with you, with your one church, Jesus is head of. Join us as one now, even as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is.
Summer is so different for all of us. Something I'm really looking forward to is each Sunday, the next several weeks, we're going to be studying Revelation, the first three chapters, looking at the seven churches. And so today it begins. So I'm going to be reading in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Revelation to John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests, serving his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the persecution and kingdom and the patient endurance, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars. And from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun, shining with full force. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Now write what you have seen, what is and what is to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Right on this. Good morning, everyone. Let us pray. Lord, we're just so blessed that we can meet together here. Such a blessing has arrived this weekend with new life. Little Louis James has come into this world, Lord. We pray a blessing over him and his family. His siblings are so excited to know their new little brother. Our Lord, we ask for protection over the whole family as they commit themselves to you and to the raising of their children to know you even more, Lord. What a prize it is to see new life. Lord, we lift up families who have been suffering. Liz Montambo, the Muckle family, with losses that they have suffered. So for each and every one, Lord, we just ask your presence in their lives to the point that they know that you are beside them as they walk through these days. Gleaning from all of this, what blessing there is from the life that was, and moving into a new time of remembering from whence that all came. But just giving it all to you, Lord, so that their pleasure in your life, that you can lead them through to something new and something even more than they had ever dreamed possible. We ask for that kind of a life coming out of death that just rings tunes of remembering and applying some things that they may have learned through this time, and to be there for others who are suffering in the same way, Lord. It's a difficult time that we live in, Lord. I lift up everyone in this congregation, all of its members, that we each know that Jesus Christ has moved in our lives. We are new creatures. We behave differently, Lord, all because you came and gave up your life for us. And Lord, I know that I've probably missed many. Some who are not here, Lord, wish to ask your blessing in their life. We ask for things to happen that tell them that you are active and moving among them. Lord, bring them back to us. Bring them into their community. Bring them back to see that you are moving. And Lord, we just ask all of this in your Son's most precious name. Amen.
Great to see you guys. So, no way, in Sunday school, we teach you about Jesus. But you know, when Jesus walked here, he could only be in one place at a time. So he couldn't be here and way over there. He could speak things, though, and have things happen elsewhere. But he could only be in one place. But guess what? We've missed celebrating Easter. then that means we missed him ascending, and also that he's now at the right hand of the Father. But with what Lisa read this morning, wow, now this Jesus, he is everywhere. It doesn't matter where you are, he is. Can you tell me one place where he is all the time? Right, what? Well, yes, he is here, but where is he especially? Where do we teach you? Where does Jesus live? Besides in heaven, at the right hand of the Father, he also lives someplace in your body. I was afraid you guys hadn't paid attention in Sunday school. Okay, yeah. So he lives inside of us. He lives up in heaven, and as we have here. No one's going to fool around with this Jesus. Okay, nobody. So, we just thank him for that. Now, I have this for you. Because Jesus loves kids. I think that's why we're also called children of God, because, well, I can act like a kid quite a bit. You may do whatever you want. I know I should try. It's okay. Here we have. I have some more if anybody else wants to, but you only get one at a time. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much that you love kids, but also that you are now in a place where you can help each and every one of us at any time when we call upon you, and even when we don't call upon you. So we just thank you, Lord, that you love us, you died for us, and you are now there interceding for us and taking care of absolutely everything in our lives. In your name we pray. And all God's children said,
stand if you are able and sing. Thanks, Jean. Have you listened to the words of the song? If you ever listened to K-Love or online, I heard something very distinctive in this song, and I'll just read some of the lines. Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand, I start to fall. And all those lonely roads that I have traveled on, when the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. in the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces, every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it. What's the line? There was Jesus. Anybody know the song? Zach Williams and Dolly Parton. You can't, yeah, if you've heard Dolly Parton, a little sweet, and there was Jesus, her sweet little voice. On the mountains and the valleys and the shadows of the alleys and the fire and the flood, there was Jesus. Always is and always was. No, I never walk alone. I never walk alone. You're always there. In the waiting and the searching and the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. You have to check out that song. Yeah, I think it is pretty new. Someone singing and sharing about their struggles, about their challenges. How are you struggling? How are you challenged? Is there suffering that you're going through right now? In what place has the Lord placed you that He wants you to endure? So many are just running away from everything. Where does the Lord have you that He wants you to endure through this? Jesus knows you. He understands your struggles. He understands pandemic-type stuff and shutdowns. And He understands that. He understands your challenges. But he calls you and He calls me to overcome. To overcome in His power, in His might, in His strength. God is our Father. You know, He helps us to become overcomers. He's the best kind of Father. He's God. And He wants the best for you. He loves you. He wants to be present to you. You belong to Him. You can come home to Him. You can talk to Him about anything, especially the struggles, especially the challenges. You can share your hopes and your dreams, and He'll share with you His hopes and His dreams for you. God is our Father, but God is also our refiner. He is our refiner. He makes us strong as He takes us through the fire. It's a spiritual fire. He is our refiner. He wants to test by fire the genuineness of our faith. And in the past 4 months, it's actually 4 months tomorrow, this is day 119, but who's keeping track? I mark it out in my calendar weekly, but not every day. In the past 4 months, the Lord has done so much for His church. Some people, I'm not saying members of this church, but some in Christ's church throughout the world are running, escaping. They don't want to endure. They don't think that our Lord can overcome. But others, like yourselves here, we are trying to come under what He has for us. God is refining and preparing His bride. He's preparing us for His return, whenever that is. It could be tomorrow. Are we ready for that? But He's preparing us. So our view of Jesus will mean everything for enduring and thriving in the days that are coming. Well, Lisa read a while ago, it's an image of Jesus in Scripture. It's something that maybe we've never even heard before or read. It might be very new. It's very different. So our view of Jesus will mean everything going forward. And that's what Revelation 2 and 3 are all about. The seven letters to the seven churches, they're specific things that Jesus shares with them in that cultural context, but they have great implications throughout history and into the end of time. That's what it's about. In particular, the Lord, through John, is renewing their view, their impression of Jesus. He's changing the picture. He's giving them something to help them overcome in their time of need. You know, so was he weak or was he strong? Was he a lamb or a lion? Yes. All of that and more. For 7 weeks, we'll look at each church. Jesus knows them. He knows their struggles. He knows where they're being effective, and He knows where they're falling away. There's nothing that the Lord doesn't know about everybody, about all His churches. He gives us an opportunity. Will they heed His warnings? Will we? Some things overlap with us in our day and age, and we'll start into that. Will we overcome in His power? There's a lot of power being displayed throughout the country, especially. That has nothing to do with God's power. That's worldly strategy. But God's power, empowering us to be strong in the Lord, to stand firm, even if it costs us some great things. So this morning is an introduction to the seven letters, Revelation 1. In particular, the vision of the unveiled, blazing glory of Christ. I mean, what an image. It will change your understanding of Jesus. It will compel you to have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is doing in us and around us. And we will want to ask for all that He has for us. Come, Lord Jesus. Well, Revelation 1 could actually be titled, There Was Jesus, just like the song. John's description was of what he saw was nothing like he knew of Jesus back when they did ministry and life together for 3 years. It was nothing like that. And John, you know, for nearly a generation, all the other disciples had died off and many others been persecuted, their lives taken for their faith. But John was quite old, and so for nearly a whole generation, he experienced the invisible presence of Jesus by the Spirit. It would remind him of the Jesus that he knew, that he saw die and who rose again and all of that. But now, this all changes in this vision. The invisible presence of Jesus becomes the visible presence of the resurrected and exalted Christ and who He is and what He offers. John was undone when he saw this. Fell at the feet of Jesus as if dead. Holy fear. That's the best kind of fear. When we know that God is God and that He's in His holy temple, all we can do is bow. Not running away in fear, but it's God is God and I am not. But John was touched by the hand of Christ, the glorified one, the exalted one. What must that have been like when Jesus touched him? But it was John's commissioning. You will write this. You will continue to be persecuted. And, you know, it's going to be tough at the end. But you love the Lord and you're joy-filled. You will thrive. You will endure. But this is your commissioning. You will do what I ask you to do. He wants to commission us. Do you know what He's asking you to do? Do you know what Jesus is asking you to do? Well, let's keep asking Him. And He'll show us and tell us. And maybe some of that will come out today. But John was told to share this holy vision. What he saw. And boy, how powerful it is. We'll look at it a little bit. But then a specific message with each of the seven churches. You know, their highs and lows and woe to you. And hey, blessed are you and everything in between. There are some cultural things that the people of God and Christ's church were doing back in that day that it mirrors a lot of stuff that's going on today. We will be shocked and amazed. Lord, help me say all that God's put on my heart and not be afraid. But that's for in about 3 weeks and 4 weeks, so. Well, John was a fisherman. We know that. He was called to follow Jesus with his brother James, and he wrote the Gospel of John and the three epistles of John and, of course, Revelation. And now he was exiled to the island of Patmos. It was said that exile was worse than death, because you were isolated, you were alone, and you know, maybe there's some other bad things happening. But just a rocky island, and you know, it was out in the, you know, out from the coast. But persecution of Christians was everywhere in the Roman Empire. His brother James was killed, along with other disciples, for their faithful obedience. John was exiled because he was preaching the Word of God and preaching Jesus, something that will be very unpopular within the next generation, even in America. It's coming. But we're not afraid. We'll be faithful. But Patmos, that rocky, desolate place of confinement, John was alone. He had no one, no fellowship. There was no worship. It was kind of his own shelter in place. Yet Christ provided for him. There was Jesus showing up. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week, Sunday. And God showed up. By way of a little more introduction, Revelation means apocalypse. That word, like, oh yeah, all the movies are about, but that's what it means. It means to take the cover off. It means the unveiling, the uncovering. Revelation is a book of prophecy. It reveals the ultimate destiny of humanity apart from God and the kingdom of God. What God says will happen. Will happen. Did you know that 1/4 of the Bible is prophecy? I wouldn't have come up with that percentage. Would you have? 1/4 of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, Jesus Christ stands at the center of biblical prophecy. Revelation 1:1, what Lisa started with, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who he is in his glorified state is unveiled. And verse 3 says, blessed are those who read and hear these words and heed the things which are written, for the time is near. Verses 4 and 5 are the greeting to the seven churches. I don't know if you're looking along at this. You can. Grace and peace to you from him who was, who is, and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and has released us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests, to our God. To him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. And I love the enthusiasm my wife had with sharing the verses 7 and 8. Behold, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Every eye. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn. I think the translation was wail, was read. But amen. And then Jesus signs the introduction. I am the Alpha, the Omega, who is, who is to come, the Almighty. If you have the red letter edition, there's only a few verses with red letters in the first part. But chapters 2 and 3 that we're going into, it's all red. It's all the words of Jesus. And then, of course, at the end of the book, when he's speaking directly. So, John's vision, the blazing glory of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. You know, blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Whatever it would sound like, just it would be very loud. Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. Then he turned to see who was speaking. And then all the images, and there's so much in there. He saw seven lampstands. We know that's the churches. In the middle of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man. You can read about that in Daniel, especially. But clothed in a robe, girded across his chest with a golden sash. You know, the high priestly authority and royalty. You know, he is the one that is in our midst. You know, he is worthy. But his hair, white like wool, as white as snow. You know, age, wisdom, the Ancient of Days. Revealing the full deity of Jesus our Lord, eternal God. He is before all things. All wisdom, all power. His eyes like blazing fire. Wow, those eyes can pierce through anything. Nothing is hidden from our Lord. He pierces through all deception and impurity. His feet were burnished bronze, like blazing in a furnace, in a refiner's fire. That bronze is the metal of weapons. So it's the feet of judgment. He comes to inspect the seven churches and the church throughout history. No opposition against Christ will ever stand. Our God is a just judge. In his right hand, he held the seven stars, representing his authority. You know, are the stars the angels of the church, the pastors, the leaders of the church, the elders? Well, it's connected to authority. He gives the authority. And we love that. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he tells us to go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them. I am with you always. So I connect that to that authority. He holds them in his hands. He gives the church his authority. Then a double, sharp, double-edged sword was in his mouth. The word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which penetrates any and everything. Jesus' words are absolute. They expose everything and examine everything. Anyone who will hear. And then his face shone like the sun. What would that be like? That brilliance, that blinding brilliance of the Lord's face, the glorified Lord Jesus. It was so pure, a holy fire. No one could fix their eyes on his face. No longer meek and mild, Christ will put all evil and all enemies under his foot when he returns. It's a warning of judgment to come to the churches. But it's also hope. It's also encouragement. I want to help you overcome. I'm the only way you will endure and overcome. But to all who will listen, there's victory. There's vindication. This vision of the splendor of Jesus Christ that John has in the Spirit on the Lord's day, it blazed through the darkness of John's persecution. And Jesus lights the way for all who, like John, are suffering, who are struggling, or who will need to stand strong on God's word in the days ahead. But Jesus comes also to bring his power. And he desires that we would be a church, we would be a lampstand reflecting his light and his glory. That's what it means to endure, is to reflect his light, his glory. And again, as I said earlier, John fell at the feet of Jesus in worship, in holy fear and reverence and awe, and Jesus placed his hand upon him. You know, don't be afraid. He says, I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Speaking words of life and resurrection right over him. And oh, how his word and touch must have burned with the fire of the Holy Spirit upon him, coursing through John's whole body. The commissioning of Jesus. And Jesus is here now as we wrap this up. As we continue in our worship, he is here now. May we feel the heat of the Spirit upon us and in our midst as a refining fire. He knows our struggles. He calls us to be overcomers in His power. In the Bible, fire usually symbolizes destruction, right? But it also symbolizes refining and purifying, strengthening, passion, and power. In Revelation 3:18, when we get there, Jesus wants to give them gold refined in the fire. God wants that for all of us. May He turn His hand upon us and refine us. And being in a refining fire, what's that like? This time, these 4 months has been a refining fire. Is it strengthening Christ's church or is it weakening Christ's church? Capital C. Time will tell. But being in the refining fire is not comfortable, but it has a good purpose. It is often in difficult times in our lives when they are refined that we discover who we really are in Christ Jesus. You know, the cream rises to the top, right? But in a refiner's fire, it burns away the weaknesses, the impurities, the dross, and it's scooped away, and the Lord can continue to see His face. God can see His face, our refiner. He can see Himself reflected in us. That's the work He's doing. Charles Spurgeon said, "I owe more to the fire and the hammer and the file than to anything else in my Lord's workshop," speaking of how he'd been refined. And lastly, I came across this some weeks ago. It was on vesselsforglory.com, just a blogger, there's no name. This individual had a dream on April 11th, 2020, so in the midst of all this stuff going on. So I guess that's a couple months ago. 3 months ago, in fact. But this is what was written down. The dream, the vision. Jesus took me on the swings. We played for a moment. And then I asked to speak with the Father. Father came and I felt as though I had been reunited with my home that I had dearly loved and had lost. I felt that I belonged. I had missed this to the core, my Father's presence. I felt free to ask anything, everything that I wanted. The Father wanted me to ask questions. And I asked, "Father, I want to have pure motives towards You and a pure heart. How can I have pure motives?" The Father said, "Refining fire. Before you ask for this, though, consider the cost. Does it hurt? Does fire hurt?" "It burns," the Father said. "I've considered the cost. I choose the fire. Refine me like silver and gold." Amen. Stand together if you are able. come to our offering time. Just want to offer a prayer, but thankful for everyone's generosity and your stewardship and your giving to those in need and helping so many. So if you haven't already, during the next song, you can bring your offering forward, or some are giving online, and that's wonderful. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, all good gifts come from you, from heaven above. We thank you for the gift that you are, the gift of spiritual fire too. The refining that you want to do in my life and all of our lives. We offer ourselves to you in stewardship. Show us how we can serve you best, O Lord, with all that we have. And Lord, for our children as well, as they're learning to be stewards of all that you've given them. Bless the children, young and old, Lord, that we might see a movement across this land of your Spirit. Nothing of the world, but your Spirit that brings people together, that unites your church as one. And Lord, may we see that. May we see that in our land. So receive these gifts now in Jesus' name. Amen. And one final song to sing. Will the Lord bless you as you go out. Our Heavenly Father has given us complete, total access to Himself because of the sacrifice of His Son. And by the Spirit, He wants to bless us and fill us. So the Lord bless you indeed today. Now go and be a blessing to others. Amen.